to Jesse. Author's note. For the sake of their privacy, I don't use the names of my family members in the stories I tell. The exception is Jesse, my husband, who thankfully can't escape being attached to me. Because the court's deliberative process is confidential, I don't reveal internal conversations with other justices. I describe cases in this book, but unless I publicly dissented or the case has been overruled, I don't express a view about their soundness. Nor, of course, do I discuss political disputes or say how I might decide issues that haven't come before me. The rules of ethics generally prohibit judges from offering opinions outside the judicial process. Finally, while I have produced much academic writing over the course of my career, this book does not fall in that category. I'm writing in the first person, describing my own approach to the law at an accessible level. While I alert you to some of the competing arguments, I don't get into the weeds of scholarly debates. If you're interested in going deeper, however, I hope this book will inspire you to learn more. Introduction. Since I joined the court, it has become clear to me that many Americans are eager to know more about what a justice does and how the court works. I receive a steady stream of questions from a wide range of people, lawyers and non-lawyers, children and adults, even visitors from foreign countries. Some questions are personal. What was the confirmation process like? How have you adjusted to the court? What is your job like for your family? I have also received charming letters from young children asking things like, what is my favorite color and do I like my new job? The answers are probably blue and mostly yes. Others relate to the more personal side of work. What was it like to clerk for Justice Scalia? Do the justices get along? What does your normal day look like? And still others are specifically about my work at the court. How does the court get its cases? How does it decide them? How do you approach the job? With questions like these in mind, I set out to write a book about the court, seen through the lens of my own experience. But as I began writing, I realized that I wanted to broaden the frame. Because the court is steeped in tradition, its story can't be isolated to the present moment. Almost everything that justices do today, from how we decide cases to where we meet for lunch, builds on what justices have done in the past. Nor can the court's story be separated from the Constitution, which is both its birth certificate and life's work. The Constitution creates the court, names it, and defines the scope of its power. Resolving constitutional disputes has been the court's critical role for more than two centuries. So in the end, I chose to weave together three themes: the work of the court and its justices, the Constitution and its impact, and my own approach to judging. Along the way, I'll introduce you to some of the people, past and present, who have shaped what I do. If I leave you with a better understanding of the court's role, how the Constitution shapes American life, and how I think about my job, I will have achieved my goal. While my adult jobs, practicing lawyer, law professor, and judge, have all involved the law, this book reflects my firm belief that law is not reserved for those with legal training. I'm lucky to have a multitude of friends and family who are not lawyers, some of whom read draft chapters to let me know when my descriptions got too technical. With the benefit of their help, I hope that I've made this book accessible to anyone interested in the court, lawyers and non-lawyers alike. The business of the court affects every American, and the Constitution belongs to all of us. Though the court occupies a central place in American government, it is still a somewhat opaque institution. The process of judging, which has